Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody.
Lying beside you, here in the dark, feeling your heartbeat with mine. Softly you whisper, you're so sincere. How could our love be so blind? We sailed on together, we drifted apart, and here you are by my side. Yeah. So now I come to you with open arms, nothing to hide. Believe what I say. So here I am with open arms, hoping you'll see what you love means to me. Yeah, open arms. Living without you, living alone, this empty house seems so cold. Wanting to hold you, wanting you near, how much I wanted you home. But now that you've come back tonight into day, I need you to stay. So now I come to you with open arms, nothing to hide. Believe what I say. So here I am with open arms, hoping you'll see what your love means to me, yeah. Open arms.
All righty, and that was music by Jennifer Graham. Jethro's promoting her and her music, and she is an amazing artist. She's been on Live with Jethro here at Vikings Gone Wild, and I guess they had a pretty well timed that time. I was unfortunate enough to miss that show, but I get to hear her music, so it's all pretty good. Anyway, we are supposed to have Amy Cavanaugh on with us today, and so far she has not called in, so I'm not sure what is going on with her just yet, but she's been doing our chakra classes on Wednesdays, and she's done the red chakra was the first week, and that was the first chakra, our sacral, our survival issues. And then the next week she went into doing, finished up the red and went into doing orange. And that was our second chakra. That's our sexual and emotional chakra, dealing with our, you know, love natures and that kind of stuff. And then the third chakra was the yellow chakra. That was the solar plexus, and she did that one last week and kind of reviewed that. We have all those on archives. And today she's supposed to be doing chakra number four. And until she calls in here, it's like you get to listen to me here for a little bit. Let's see what else we have going on. Tomorrow is going to be Rita Canavan, and she's going to be sharing with us her Native American psychological experience that she went through earlier this year with Religion Cleansing and Detoxing. And, of course, we have our Master Psychic Jethro, who is going to be back on Friday. And I'm not sure his guest who's got lined up this time. He just says that Psychic goes wild. So it's like, you know, just tune in and see who's on, because we never know who's going to be on. And we do some of these very, very last minute, or, or we've had people cancel and move around. So I'm like, okay, that is kind of a wild moment. So anyway, but to get a hold of him, his information is www.jethrosmith.net. And that is his website. You can go there and get a reading, or a book a reading, or get a copy, an autographed copy of his and Kay's book called Living in the Psychic Realm. And it is available through Barnes and Noble Booksellers. It is also available through Amazon. Or if you want to get his email, is two of them. There's psychicjethro@aol.com or jethropsychic @gmail.com. Okay, and we have somebody in chat here. I'm going to say hi to Becky. Becky, so far, Amy has not shown up, shown in, whatever here, so we're kind of hanging a little bit. I did a little review on just the chakras that she's gone over. She's gone over the red one, the orange one, and the yellow one, their first, second, and third chakras. And today she was going to be going over the fourth chakra, which is commonly reviewed. She's using the what we call the seventh chakra system. Chakra four is dealing with the heart. Okay, willing for Jethro to call for a writing for Jethro to call for a reading. Okay. Waiting. Oh, okay, gotcha. Okay, so you're actually having a reading with him today. Okay, let me get that in there. Okay. We have a reading with him. I'm sorry, I cannot talk and shoot up and talk at the same time. Okay, today. Okay, well, and she's talking back there. Okay. Yes, ma'am. All righty. Now, Becky's going to be our lucky one. She's got a reading with Psychic Jethro today. All righty. Like I say, so far, Amy has not shown up today, so I don't know if she was having some trouble getting on. It's like, you know, our Wednesday's been our regular thing. So I might just go ahead and do some fill-in time here while she's here. It's like we don't have anybody in the queue, probably because everybody read the show descriptions. Of course, I did discover that one of our regular listeners had informed us that she signed up and followed the show, and she was telling us that the shows were not coming up. They were not consistent with what was actually on air, and, you know, this and that. I was like, going, wow. It's like, I haven't had a chance to talk to her about that and see what's going on there. But apparently Blog Talk was Blog Talk as again or something like that. What I might go ahead and do is, I know Amy's doing, like I said, the seventh chakra system. And I might go ahead and I work with a 14-point chakra system, which I'm pretty sure everybody knows the standard seven chakra system is, of course, the red, the number one chakra is red, that's your survival, it's your sacral, and that deals with all of your survival issues and such like names. If I can go through them here real quick, I might explain just a little bit what cording is for those people who don't know what cording is or how people get attached to you in different ways. And I may end up doing some stuff on how to weed your garden, what I call how to weed your garden. Number two, of course, is the orange, and that is the sexual and emotional system as orange, and people who think it's there for different reasons. Then number three is the solar plexus. And from there, it's like, so the basic three are exactly that. They're the basic three. And then from there, the seven chakra system goes on. Number four is considered the heart chakra, and it is usually considered green and pink, which I never could understand, you know, why that was until I got into a different one. So for the moment, it's like in the seven chakra system, number four is your heart, and it's green and pink, and it's about a lot of issues. Number five chakra is the throat, and it's what's called an electric blue. It's your communication. And then, and this one, six, is considered to be your third eye. It's the indigo, your psychicness and see ability. And then number seven, of course, is the crown chakra. And that's what Amy's going to be talking with us about. For myself, I do something a little bit different. It's like when we get to chakra three, the yellow, the next step up for me is green. And the green chakra is known as, is associated with the adrenal glands. I don't know the precise name for it. I just go through them by the numbers because like it's the adrenals. And it is green, and it's kind of about health and healing for me. And then the next one up would be, for me, is chakra five, which is the heart, and it's pink. And that, again, is, you know, the love, the emotions, all this kind of stuff. It's your heart and your lungs. And then the one above that, number six, is a lavender one. And it's about, see, I want to say like the center of your breastbone. It's like if you find the divot in, you know, on your neck, it's like where the breastplate starts. And you go down about, one, two, three or four inches down there. And you tap with that. That activates that, and that's what's known as, I know it's lavender as thymus, and I've been told that that's where your angel wings go. It's like they start from that point, you know, and if you're being angelic, it's like that's where your angel wings start growing. Number seven for me is the throat chakra, and that's that electric blue communication. And then chakra number eight is called the occipital. It's the occipital bone at the base of the skull, and it's called the blood veins, and it's a royal blue. That one, of course, is used for, you know, dreaming, for subconscious work, that kind of stuff, and it's associated. I have to actually pull my books out and look at this, because there's the glands in the head. There's the hypothalamus, the pineal, the pituitary, and one of those has what's called the post, which is the post is front, I believe the post is back, and where the front one is. But there's a back and front one side to that particular gland that's in the head. And that is what the chakra number eight, the well of dreams, is associated with. And then you move up, and number nine is the indigo, and that is the third eye. And that's the anterior position. It's like of I believe it's like I can't remember if it's pineal or pituitary. I believe it's, I want to say pineal gland. The next one up is right above. It's like if you look at your forehead, third eye. It's kind of like, you know, right in the middle of the two, and right directly above that and touching is number 10, and it is more of the dark purple. It's like that's where indigo is kind of like a navy blue and a purple. The number 10 chakra is more of the purplish. And that is, I believe that one is the one that's associated with pineal pituitary. I want to say that might be the pituitary one. And then chakra number 11 is the, of course, the crown chakra that's on the top of your head, looks like the lotus flower with, you know, the thousand petals out when it's open and so on and so forth. And it's kind of, for me, is... it's more of a white. Instead of a purple, it's more of a white. And then we go above the body, and I don't know how many of you remember My Favorite Martian from, oh golly, way back in the 60s, and where he had these two little antennas that would come up, and that's about what these are. It's like there's one that comes up out of the head, and it kind of V's out a little bit from the crown chakra, and center of the crown chakra V's out to the right, and that one is what I call chakra 12, and it's gold because that's the masculine side. And then on the flip side of that, what V's out is to the left, and that's chakra 13. That is the silver, and that's the feminine. So it's like you have those two that come out. You have gold on the right and silver on the left, and then from the two of those go up to a point about 18 inches above your head, and that's really a luminescent ball, and that's called your God connection, and that for me is chakra 14. So when we're calling in, and I use this in Reiki and in Arch, and when you're calling in and doing prayer, we always start with the Lord's Prayer, because I absolutely want to know where that energy is coming from. And it's like by cleansing and clearing, what we have discovered is that the Lord's Prayer, you know, our Father in Heaven, that prayer actually cleanses, aligns, and balances your chakras. So, you know, when you say it with slowness, you say it with reverence, it's like there's a lot of things, and it balances your body. And people, you know, they can drop their blood pressure, they can do all kinds of stuff in the moments that they're actively saying that. So when you're opening that, then you open that channel, that 14 chakra above your head, that's like again, it's just a luminous ball, and that goes up and connects with God. That's your God connection. So when we start with grounding, it's like, and I'm going to do a basic with grounding and running energy, is I always start with Lord's Prayer. And it's like, and then that energy comes in through chakra 14. Okay, let's see. We do have a caller here. So I'm going to pause on this commentary here. And let's see here. Okay, it looks like they're calling on Skype. Steve Watson, 80. Oh, you're on air with Psychic Sound Love.
Good afternoon. How are you doing today?
Pretty good. Who am I talking with? Well, Steve Watson, I guess.
Yes. Yes.
Alrighty.
I'd like to know if I can get a random reading today.
Yes, you sure can. It's like I'm Casey. I do birth cards. It's like I'm not Master Psychic Jethro. It's like I don't really do the intuitive or psychic stuff. I just do card readings. So what I need from you is your month, day, and year. Let me click this up here. Month, day, and year of your birth. And birth cards are done on our deck of 52. It's like, you know, so you're going to be a hearts, club, diamond, or spade. So we'll find out what you are.
Okay. My birthday is January 8th, 1980.
January 8th. Okay. January 8th. Oh, cool. Of 1980. Okay. Let me get that one clicked up and in here. There we go. And we'll find out what you are. You are a... It's sinking. Oh, Six of Spades, one of the big karma cards. All righty, well, let's see what we got going for you. You also have a planetary ruling card that is the Three of Hearts. Generically, while it's kicking up here, and it gives me about 20 pages worth of stuff here to look at and whatnot. But generically, our sixes, they're the karma cards of the deck. It's like they're the ones that, you know, you've got, you're fated, you know, you have a lot of responsibility in terms of, you know, you're here to kind of like settle things up from past things. And spades, man, it's like spades are about work. It's like if you think of a garden, you know, growing a garden and taking the, you know, before the days of rototiller, I'll put it that way. It's like think of a garden out there with the hand tools. And it's like, you know, when the people used to go out and spade their gardens, it's like that's the kind of work we're talking about. And a lot of times you guys are here. And you work really hard. You really do. So let's see. It has, and it actually calls that. It's like each of the cards has a name, and the Six of Spades is called the Card of Fate. It's a really powerful card, and the card of the person, you're here to learn responsibility of power. You either align yourselves to this higher purpose and vision to achieve really great success, or you might have power turned against you for your own downfall. So it's like those are the flip sides, you know, that's the flip side of the coin on both of those. As a rule, you're really responsible for your actions, but you've got this strong Neptune influence that can, you know, lead some of the six of spades down what they call the road of escapism, and you might get lost in fantasy and illusion. Hopefully you're not there. You're dreamers, to be sure, and as such, you need to be careful to keep your dreams aligned with really high ideals. So it's like, I hope you're associated with a good church. Those high ideals and principles, if you want to prevent them from becoming nightmares, you need to latch onto that highest dream you can find and use your power to attain it. Nothing can stop you once you have this clear vision. Fulfillment on every level is just about guaranteed. You really need to watch this tendency to fall into like a comfortable or uncomfortable rut. My grandmother always used to say, "A rut's a grave with the ends kicked out," so watch that. Sometimes you can really be stubborn. Through the acquisition of knowledge, you can find great fulfillment, life purpose, direction, a lot of good friends. Some of your greatest challenges come in the area of love and romance. Your own indecision sometimes works against you with that. You've got a connection with this Nine of Spades card, and there's going to be some losses in your life, sometimes tragic ones. But the Nine of Spades also guarantees great success when you're focused on this vision of helping the world with your many gifts, because you got a lot of them. You can be the greatest givers of the deck and express yourselves in a really universal manner, and a lot of you rise to great heights in your work. And concerning relationships, Six of Spades is like sometimes you can't stop thinking about love and romance. at the same time, you have some of this mental approach to the whole situation of love and romance, and it causes you to undergo many experiences, both up and down, while you kind of gather this experience to back up your concepts and ideas. You tend to be drawn, you sometimes, you know, play the field as such, you know, multiple relationships. And if you do that, though, it's got some negative consequences for you. You need to kind of look at this hidden fear of not getting enough affection, which is what underlies, you know, the multiplicity. It's like, you know, the looking for love sometimes in all the wrong places. Both genders, it's like you're intelligent, you know, you've got good wit. Sometimes it's like, now if you get into the flip side, okay, if you get into the downside, sometimes you can be what they call crafty or dishonest in love matters, but you don't want to do that because that will turn around and bite you. You like the five of diamonds or the six of diamonds, and you need to avoid trapping yourself in your own, you know, somewhat stories and beliefs, okay? So don't tell such a good story you get yourself caught in your own web, okay? Three of hearts is your planetary ruler. It's a card of uncertainty of the heart, but it's also one of the threes are highly creative and a lot of variety. You probably got some really good artistic ability, whether or not you're currently expressing it. And honestly, I have seen people express artistic ability when they are stone layers, okay? Stone layers, cake bakers, you know, whatever. There, any field that you're in, it's like there's always some creativity and artisticness that can come out in that. Many of the people with this card can be singers, musicians, artists of other kinds. It also inspires children, which is another form of creative expression. If children are important to you, that could be one of the reasons why. On other levels, Three of Hearts means uncertainty of the heart. Your own emotional life could have some real challenges as you try to use your mind to solve the emotional problems without a lot of success, because it's like, you know, you got to feel it with the heart. That's what the heart is. And you might be a love warrior, okay? There's a need to feel and let those feelings be expressed. And that's a solution for proper expression of that really creative force that's part of you. On the other hand, you might find more happiness, you know, in play in the field, you know, which is that another form of that expression. So whichever way, you know, that you find is working for you, you know, that's what works for you. This year, you've got some really cool things coming up. You can find your true purpose for the year. There's at least one occurrence of a six card in your reading in a prominent position, and we'll look at those, the big five for your year. Sixes can be frustrating because sometimes they represent kind of like static or unchanging conditions, but on the other hand, they give you a really special ability to perceive that which is what is usually hidden from your conscious mind. So this would be a time to indulge in prayer and meditation. Prayer is talking, meditation is listening, because what it allows you to do is it allows you to kind of access and know those unconscious moments, okay? And you really listen to that inner voice, you can receive a lot of great inspiration and direction when this card is present, and you've got at least one of them for that entire year. Okay, and the next segment there. This is going to be a year you might remember for all the really good success it brings. Because you're also, oh, wow. Excuse me. This is because you got a King of Spades as your long-range card this year. And that's really amazing. It's like there, that doesn't happen a lot for some of the cards. It's a really powerful and successful year for you. Because of that King of Spades, there's very little you cannot accomplish. It's one of the most powerful cards in the deck when it comes to material work and accomplishment. But it only benefits you if you're willing to take on a role as, you know, a leadership role in your chosen field. It implies leadership in some form, but it can be a special opportunity for you to realize some of your dearest and highest goals. If you're willing to sit down and, like, create a plan for your success or accomplishment, your goal sheets, that kind of stuff, there's very little that could prevent you from reaching your goals. Everything just kind of seems to go your way. It's going to flow pretty easy for you this year. You're going to succeed where others have failed. In most areas of competition, you're going to come out on top, you know, the winner. List of benefits just goes on for this card for this year. And literally, you won't forget this year. It's really good. And it's also a transition because of you're at the age of 32 here. 32 is a year. It's a five, and it's a year of transition. There's going to be some major transitions, too. Keep in mind, though, for this back to this King of Spades, the benefits are only available if you're willing to become a king, which means, you know, being the one that's responsible and willing to, you know, be the captain of your own ship, direct your own destinies, as well as those around them. So that opportunity comes very, you know, I'd say really rarely in life. It's like some of those cards never have the King of Spades or the long range ever. So you're really, really fortunate with this one. Okay. And let's see. And also, now there's another one. You're back at clubs. You're going to be dealing with some very creative and useful energies this year, either your own or those of a really intellectually stimulating younger man. Could be, you know, business, whatever. Creativity can be channeled and probably successfully into many endeavors like writing, sales work, or just anywhere new and creative ideas are of value. You're really on a creative high that year. You can expect really good results from all creative work. On the downside, watch out for a tendency to, you know, not take stuff as seriously as you need to under that, and watch the role that others play with you. Jack of Clubs has another important meaning. Is if you're interested in the spiritual side of life, it represents an initiation into higher knowledge. And it could mean you're exposed to some new ideas or philosophies that could really radically change the way you think about yourself or your life. Your entire method of communicating could really undergo a dramatic transformation this year as the year progresses. Your keywords, and it's like these are the ones I say, you know, get your 3x5 index card, you know, write them down, tape it up on the bathroom mirror. A year of heightened mental creativity and initiations into new forms of knowledge and ways of communicating. So that's a key word for there. Your Pluto card this year is a 10 of diamonds. Financial matters, likely to take the spotlight this year. You're going to be dealing with a large sum of money, either directly, indirectly. I've seen, you know, people with this, you know, work at banks, that kind of stuff. But it's going to be a matter that causes a lot of change and personal growth for you. It could be your money, somebody else, but it's somehow really going to be important in your life because those diamonds always deal with money and value. And it could be money that you work for, or it could be some inheritance, you know, in the family, something like that. But in some way, this large sum of money is going to challenge you. And maybe you've decided, you know, you're going to earn a lot of money this year. It's like, you know, if your own business could be the point where you, you know, want a major expansion of it, you know, if you're into your own business. On a deeper level, Ten of Diamonds tells us you're wanting an expansion of your value. And it's the year to expand both your self-worth and the boundaries of what you think you can earn or have as far as material things are concerned. It seems like an external matter, but the real change is occurring in yourself. And it's like if you've never seen that movie called The Secret, I highly recommend it. The book is by Rhonda Byrne, B-Y-R-N-E, and it's like the DVD is really amazing. So it's like the challenge, you know, that you need to think about is how much do you really think you're worth and how much are you going to allow yourself to have? Okay, so it's like sometimes we limit ourselves by the way we think about things. And I was realizing that the other day as I was driving around looking for a house for sale. It's like going, you know, so it's like just, you know, some of those things. It's like sometimes we undervalue ourselves and go, wow, you know, am I really, you know, do I really deserve this? And it's like, and, you know, part of the little mind goes, you know, I'm a child of God. It's like, yes, I do. So there you go. So you kind of need to take that attitude. It's like, you know, I am a son of God, and it's like, yes, I do deserve to have really good things in life. But whatever the case, you've got to make some changes in your life in order to have the success you want in this area, and at times it's going to seem really difficult. This result card coming up is going to give you more specifics about the money or who, you know, you're going to be dealing with. But the affirmation for your Ten of Diamonds is, I desire a large sum of money. I'm transformed by this desire or challenged by dealing with large sums of money. Now, here's where that six is. That result card is the Six of Clubs. One result of your efforts this year is either to develop heightened intuition or to create peace and effective communications with those around you. The Six is a really powerfully steadying influence. It demands responsibility and a willing to compromise to be handled really effectively. That Pluto card tells us, okay, which was, I believe that was, the Pluto card was that Ten of Diamonds, so it's kind of issues with money. Tells us who is involved in the situation or gives more details about the steps you're taking toward intuitive and responsible communication. It can also signal a year in which you discover the special purpose or destiny for yourself. It's like, you know, a lot of people ask, you know, why in the world did I come to this planet? And it's like, this is here, you can find that out, see if you want to know. The purpose could have something to do with sharing truth or higher form of knowledge with the world. You'll listen to your voice then, and it's not just going to be revealed to you. And back to that prayer meditation. Your affirmation for that is, by listening to my inner voice, I find my special purpose in life that will direct me to the highest path. And that's really where you want to be. You want to make sure you're on the high road. Your environment card this year, you have a Three of Diamonds. Its creative, financial, or business ideas could bring you many blessings this year, as well as afford you a certain amount of protection. You could take on more than one job at a time successfully as well. Highlight for success is any types of work, again, that creativity, the art, music, promotions, advertising. There's just a few of the activities that would benefit most in that card's influence. Diversify, and you're going to gain in a lot of ways. Your displacement card for this year is that Seven of Clubs. Being connected with the Seven of Clubs.
Send reinforcements now.
What's that? Say that again.
Hello, I didn't hear you.
Oh, okay. I thought I heard something on there. I was like, oh, no, okay. But that, can you hear me now? Okay. That displacement card is your Seven of Clubs. And somehow being connected with the Seven of Clubs brings special challenges that relate to how you think and the general attitudes you have about life. And it's a card of the enlightened mind. It could help you have some real breakthroughs and understanding in life, or just confront you with, you know, if you have some negative thinking, how that affects you. And that card can bring a measure of recognition and success with the public, though in private you're facing some mental challenges. Okay, so it's like, you know, public and private are two different things. Where you've been so far this year in this deck, you've got your Mercury period ran from your birth date, which was January 1st, and it ended on March 1st, and that was you had a Three of Spades and you had an Eight of Hearts. And then your Venus, so we'll go through and look at those in just a little minute. Your Venus period began March 1st and went through April 22nd, and you had the King of Hearts and this Two of Spades there. And your Mars, okay, you're currently, we just passed Mars, okay, because that's the end of June 13th. Your Mars period started April 22nd, and it went through June 13th. Now what you're currently in, okay, in that Mars was the Queen of Spades and the Six of Hearts. Your Jupiter period started June 13th and goes through August 4th. And Jupiter period is considered, you know, really the most positive, you know, expansive, beneficial one of your year. We'll kind of take a look at that because you've got a Six of Diamonds and a Queen of Hearts there. So I'm going to go take a look at the current moment you're in here. And then if we want to go back and look a little bit, some of the stuff that's already gone on, but we'll kind of see some of that. Six of Diamonds in your Jupiter period. What's coming up? During this period, you may receive payments owed to you by others that's going to contribute to your financial success. Allow yourself to receive. That's a big one. It's like, you know, we've always been taught, you know, it's better to give than receive. But you know what? If we had a whole planet full of people that were givers and nobody wanted to be a receiver, how can you give when nobody's there to receive? So it's like it's two kids playing ball. You know, it's like with the two gloves. It's like one has the ball. They're, you know, the pitcher or whatever. They're the thrower. They're giving. The other person is catching is receiving. And it's like, and to play that back and forth. So it's like, allow yourself to receive some good stuff because you're deserving it this time. At the same time, your best success comes from remaining constant and being open to compromise and adjustments within the context of your existing business agreement. Avoid speculation and gambling during this period. Just keep giving to others and watch the returns keep coming in because, you know, as you give, so it's going to come back to you. Now, you got a Queen of Hearts in your Jupiter period. Under this influence, if you're thinking about marriage, or it's like, you know, if you're already married, you know, wife is going to have a child, and it's going to be financially beneficial and blessed in many ways. Caution that this expansive influence does not cause you to overindulge in pleasant to the detriment of your health or weight. So there's some health and weight cautionaries. Just, you know, you can go out and have, you know, do some fine dining. Just make sure you get the exercise on the beach next day. This influence promotes ease, comfort, and pleasure, as well as a good mixture of love and money. It also brings a really spiritual quality to your personal relationships all year, causing them just to glow with goodness and grace. Another important meaning is that your marriage partner or significant other is making more money this year. So in a reverse sort of way, it's a good indicator of financial success for your partner, whatever work they may be involved in. Holds true for non-marriage relationships, but only if your partner is helping support you financially. Any and all women who have birth cards or the heart suit could be a financial or other blessing to them, you know, to you this year, so look to them for some guidance and help. What's kind of already gone on this year? Let's see. I was going to look back at that Mercury you had, because there was something that was kind of interesting to me back here. The Three of Spades in this Mercury period, Mercury is usually short-lived. That was a period from January 8th to March 1st. And they do kind of what's called, what I call kind of like a watercolor wash, if you're thinking in terms of painting. It's like, you know, you have influences that it's like they're strongest and most direct, like a direct drawn line in the period that they're in, and then the rest of the year they kind of do that watercolor wash. They're kind of influential, they're kind of there, but they're not so much, you know, as much pronounced. But the Three of Spades could bring some insecurity rising from indecision over two choices of some kind. It could have been about work, health, travel, home, friends. There could be a lot of short trips during that period, and you could have been working two jobs at once or unexpectedly received two, you know, offers for work at the same time. Under that influence, variety and changes might cause anxiety more than usual, and your, you know, indecisive nature could be an underlying cause. Three of Spades is called that artist card again because it brings so much creativity. Use that influence to create new ideas and plans for your future. The other Mercury card, which is the Eight of Hearts, which is really it'll overcome. This period brings experience of social success, perhaps a party, group, some, you know, educational function. You get out a certain amount of charm that, you know, makes you kind of like the belle of the ball, you know, the guy for at least for a while. It won't last for long, and you could do well to keep an eye on your own stubbornness and close relationships, because always getting your way may cause more harm than good when relating to loved ones at that time. It's such a powerful and stabilizing influence that it would produce really good results during that period, even if the other Mercury card was kind of a challenge, which sometimes the threes can be a little bit challenging because they're really creative, but the flip side is stress and worry. So it's like, hopefully you had a good outcome with that one. In the Venus period, which was March 1st to April 22nd, you had the King of Hearts and the Two of Spades in that one. It brought a lot of emotional power, charm, and ability to master your emotions and affections. And that power can be used for success in any personal professional relationship. For men, it can indicate, you know, possibly becoming a father sometime this year. You know, it's always a possibility, not a guarantee thing. But it always brings success and harmony on the family level by exhibiting leadership abilities in love. You're the master of love now. You can get what you want from others, but use it with wisdom, because if you don't, it turns out to bite you. The Two of Spades in the Venus, that could bring partnership with a friend, relative, or spouse, possibly, woman. Could be a partnership to make money or buy or sell luxury items, and it could combine business and romance. Your partner could be wealthy, or that business could be like a home center business. It could also mean a meeting in your home for some related work topic or joining a class to learn what are the arts during that period. Let's see, for your Mars, that was the Queen of Spades and the Six of Hearts. And Mars is kind of more, a little bit more conflictual related. It's relating to men in your life and can sometimes deal with lawsuits and legal stuff. During that period, you can expect greater results with that Queen of Spades from your work and the things that you're passionately pursuing, because now you've got control over yourself and your desires, and it in turn brings more success in work and legal matters. You develop patience and understanding that attracts success to you. You might have to work really hard now, but that organizational ability helps keep everything in its place, keeps you kind of on the right track. You find that there's one or more women of the spade suit for which you might have anger or attraction during that period. This is why it's kind of nice to know what other people's birth cards are. Six of Hearts in the Mars period. That's a steadying influence, and it's going to cause relationship issues to be dealt with and settled. It's kind of that karmic thing again. You might be impatient at this time. You might be forced to slow down. Put one foot in front of the other for all your personal affairs. But, you know, you get exactly what you give to others, so be especially careful what you're putting out, because it comes back. Rest assured that any matters, whether legal or romantic, would result in a fair and equal settlement for all concerned. Okay, and then we're back to that Six of Diamonds and whatever in the Jupiter period that you're in right now, which is, you know, really some positive stuff. A little bit look for it here. After the Jupiter is Saturn. Saturn follows Jupiter, and it's just almost the reverse of it. Jupiter is expansive and abundant. Saturn, a lot of times, is restrictive and burdensome. And that's going to start August 4th and go to about September 25th. Okay. In the Saturn period, you have a Ten of Hearts and a Three of Diamonds. If there's any difficulties that a Ten of Hearts deals with, if there's illness or other adversities, you have the power to overcome them. You get help from friends, and they're there even when you need it. It's a protective influence. It's a card of overcoming disappointment. Success in dealing with groups of people is also implied, though you might have to work harder to achieve it. Your own popularity may in some way become a burden during that period. I've heard the expression, you know, you become too popular. It's like, well, your phone never quits ringing and you just want to throw it in a lake. It's like, I don't know if you've ever had those. I have. It's like, oh, no. Three of Diamonds in the Saturn period. It brings excessive worry about money that kind of might bother you a bit or a lot. perhaps to the point of illness, okay? Or it could be someone's death or ill health causes some financial problems or worry. Under Saturn, your current money fears are probably karmic in nature. So it's kind of some kind of, you know, payment that's coming up for past user actions. And this is a keep a low profile. Now fly under the radar. Take care of your health and your nerves. Any kind of speculation is not supported. So it's like, don't do anything that's really is going to put you out on a limb. On a deeper level, you're being given this jolt of really creative energy now, and that energy could be used to help you find more and better ways to make money. However, it's going to be a challenge to see if you can utilize that energy without letting it turn into worry about money, which is that negative side of that card. The difficulties indicated by the card could be offset by the strong position of, you know, the Ten of Hearts, and that is the other strong card. So it's like, so that, you know, that worry and stuff, it could be offset. So it's like, you know, like I say, you've got some really good cards for this year. It's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
The other two things in the that you have for the rest of the year, you've got Uranus. Okay, and that's right. You got your Uranus card, which is September 25th through November 16th. And it kind of talks about Uranus after the grueling struggle of Saturn. Uranus was like kind of a welcome relief and a breath of fresh air. Everything kind of lightens up. You know, we tend to focus more on people we hang out with. But you have a Five of Clubs and a Nine of Diamonds. Five of Clubs in Uranus is a really strong influence for change in residence or sale of real estate. Change related to your work is also possible. It's really a progressive influence that prompts necessary changes in your life, sometimes really radical and unexpected. Work requiring travel or new and progressive methods is highly favored during that period, as well as humanitarian work with large organizations. And you've also got this Nine of Diamonds in the Uranus period, which brings financial losses in real estate or other matter or ending of the job. So avoid all speculative and quick money deals at that time. Long-term investments are okay, but just be really careful there too. That influence brings financial problems in the usual sense, but it also promotes great success for those who are giving their time and resources to charitable causes. The basic meaning is the ending of something valued, something that you wanted and worked for in the past has outlived its usefulness. It's kind of a graduation type. It's passing away. If you're conscious of this as the end of the cycle for you, you'll be able to go on, you know, let go, move ahead, and look to the future for better things to come. It's a really good influence for spiritual matters, learning new spiritual information, attending classes, that kind of stuff. Keep in mind that a really positive card, like the 4, 8, or 10, well, which it wasn't there, it was like it was that Five of Clubs, which is like you might be relocating. The Five of Clubs are the restlessness one. So it's like, so you just, you know, just be really conscious of the finances and stuff and not doing speculating things. And again, that's from like September 25th to about November 16th. And then the very last card for the year is your Neptune, and that goes from November 16th back to your next birthday. It's the last one. It represents who or what our hopes and fears are for the year. It can represent things we secretly want or things we might be afraid will come to pass. A Neptune period is usually not a good time to make any definite decisions about your future, as things often appear, you know, kind of blurred from our point of view. It's like, you know, think of, you know, Neptune and, you know, King Triton, and they're like the Triton. It's kind of watery, okay? The Nine of Diamonds and the Neptune bring, again, loss of money related to travel, foreign entrance, drugs, alcohol, or by deception. So a trip now could really prove more expensive than you had planned. May not bring as much enjoyment. Even under the most favorable circumstances, just really be careful financially related dealings with this card present, especially during this Neptune period, where you can have a lot of miscommunications and more likely to happen. There's an excellent influence for you. It's an excellent influence for giving money to the poor or helping others out financially with no expectations of repayment. It's entirely possible a long-time cherished dream project or, you know, job possession could come to an end or be lost during that period. It could be something that you were worrying about losing from time to time. If so, you know, don't be afraid or disappointed. If this ending, whatever it is coming, is actually the best thing for you and everyone else in your life. So you just kind of let it go and let new and better things come to replace it. And that's, you know, that's the period, like, say, right before, that was 52 days right before your next birthday. So that'll be, you know, that could be like that mid-November to your January birthday. So anyway, that's kind of the look-see for your year ahead and what's going on. It's like, is that helpful?
Absolutely. I have a lot to go on. I'm looking forward to listening to it and take it all in once again. You gave me a lot to go on this year. I greatly appreciate the time that you put into it.
Oh, You betcha. And it's in archives because I know I go, we tend to go kind of fast because we're on air. So it's like, you know, you can deal back into it, you know, listen to it again through archives and, you know, tape record or download or whatever the modern technology stuff is. So it's like, well, thank you for, you know, click follow and come back because we do have different people with different abilities. I know Psychic Jethro is going to be on Friday, and he's more of, I don't know, the prognosticator, the prophet, the, you know, he talks with your angels and, you know, gives messages and that kind of stuff. And he does, you know, a lot more look-see with current stuff. And it's like, can give you a lot of detail. He's really good. So come on back and visit us again and let us know how things are going. It's like we're always at 773-897-6461. And we're here. Well, it looks like you're on Skype, though. So it's like, you know, and some people have said they've had trouble finding us. So it's like, that's why I say click follow and hopefully you can find us in all the thousands of the Blog Talk people. But we're Psychics Gone Wild and look forward to seeing you again.
Certainly.
Okay. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right. You betcha. All right. Oh, hey, Jan. Okay. Let's see. I'm going to say hi to the chat room over here real quick because I haven't done that. Okay. Hi, Jan. And we got Pearlie. Okay. And a guest here. And guest. All right. Well, and Amy was supposed to be on today. Amy Kavanaugh was supposed to be on today with us, our Florida mermaid, and she, I don't know if something happened or what went on, or maybe she forgot it was Wednesday. I'm not quite entirely sure. So anyway, she's not here, but I kind of had done a little bit of the review of, we were going through the chakras. She's doing a chakra class with us usually, you know, once a week on Wednesdays. She'd gone through the red, which is, you know, chakra one, and that's the sacral and survival. She'd gone through chakra two, and all these are in archives, the orange, the sexual and emotional, and that's, yeah, you know, all that good stuff. It's like that's more of your, I don't know, lust center maybe, survival stuff too. Chakra number three is the yellow, and that's the solar plexus, willpower, different things like that. And then today she was going to do chakra number four, which I'm pretty sure is like, you know, the traditional seven is like, you know, the heart. And number I just kind of went through and, you know, was doing divide the numbers, you know, heart, and that's green and pink. And I never understood that until I was using a different chakra system. And then five is considered your throat chakra, which is the electric blue, and that's about communications. Six is the third eye. That is, you know, your psychic, your intuitive ability, being able to, you know, kind of see things. And let's see, five, six is, yeah, six, third eye, and then seven is the crown. And what I was kind of going through was the, where I kind of come from is like the bottom three are the same. One, two, and three are your red, orange, and yellow. And then from there it diversifies a bit. It's like number four is actually tied with your adrenal glands, and that's the one that's, it's green. It's like, and then you move up, and of course, it's, you know, energy and activity. And you don't want to overstress those suckers because, you know, a lot of times people run on adrenaline, and it's like not that great for your body. Let's see, so that's four. Five is your actually your heart chakra and lung chakra, and that's the one that's pink, and that's why in a seven system, it's like they're, you know, they're kind of blended together. So it's like in the one I do, it separates them out. And of course, that's your, you know, love and connectedness. And the interesting thing about that one is a lot of people believe we do what's called courting each other. And it's like, well, yeah, let me, I'm putting the cart before the horse here. I'm just going to do the quick overview on 14 as I can then go back through, because that's what I use as a 14-point system. So you've got the heart chakra, heart and lungs. And then that is, let's say, one, two, three, four, five. Number six is actually called, it's the thymus. It's one of the glands. And it's about, oh, I want to say, if you find that divot in your breastbone, you know, that the little notch, you know, by your collarbones, if you go down about 3 or 4 inches, it's like right in the middle of your chest, and you kind of tap, it's like that activates that particular one. That's, no, it's up a little bit. Okay, one, two, hang on, one, two, buckle my shoe here. About 3 inches, okay, about 3 inches. And you kind of tap around until you find it, and believe me, you'll find it. It's like you kind of, and you can tone with it. It's a lavender color, and it's where people call, if you're going to have angel wings, your angel wings start from this point. So it's like you kind of tap those to activate that. Number seven is actually The blue, the throat chakra, that electric blue, your communications. The eighth chakra is your well of dreams. It's the occipital. And it's like I'm going to have to pull out my books because I don't recall exactly which. There's like a cross-section of the head and the brain. It's like, and you've got three like master glands in the head. There's the hypothalamus, there's the pituitary, and there's the pineal. And one of them is the well of dreams deals with the anterior position, you know, the back position of it's one of the P ones. I can't really remember if it's, you know, pineal or the other one. And then you move up to number nine in Sysma. I use number nine is actually the third eye, the indigo. You know, what you use to see with. And when people are trying to blind you, you know, you'll find sometimes they try to mask and they try to, you know, try to hit your third eye. So it's like, and that's kind of actually in more between the eyes, you know, going across the bridge of the nose. And it's like, and your chakras rotate. It's like what I've been taught is they all rotate clockwise when they're healthy. And it's like you think of a Swiss watch and a Swiss clock. And it's like that everything kind of spins and it's like, you know, goes where it's supposed to. And then right above that, right above number nine, which is, you know, is the indigo, the third eye, is number 10. And it's the purple one. And it's the one, I believe that's the one with the pineal and pituitary. I think that maybe that's the pineal one because the other one's pituitary. Number 10 is more of a purple. It's where the indigo is actually kind of a blue and purple combined. The one right directly above it touching, number 10, is a purple. And then number 11 is the crown. It's on the top of your head, and it's the one when it's open. It's in that, you know, the thousand petal lotus and all that. And it can be shades of, you know, shades of lavender, white, golds and silvers. And it's like, and the reason for the multicolors is because if you visualize that, and if, you know, for those of you who are old enough to remember My Favorite Martian way back, you know, in the 60s, if you kind of visualize two little antennas coming out of the center point there, and it goes up to the, you know, to a V, it's like on the left side, oh, wait a minute, I'm going to go to the right side because that's 12. 12 is the 12th chakra is the right side, that's gold. It's like a little golden ball, and it's about 6 inches above, kind of at that 45-degree angle out on the V. And then on the to the left side is the silver, and that's, you know, the feminine side. So you have gold on your left, silver on your right, and those two little balls. And then from there, they go up, and about 18 inches above your head is a really big luminescent ball of energy called the God, you know, I call it the God connection. I don't know what else to call it. But it's that really luminescent one that is, you know, your connection to God. And it's like, I always say the Lord's Prayer, and when I start from anything, because I want to know where that's coming from. So we're going to get back into doing a little bit of grounding and running energy with this. And so when you do that prayer, it's good. It goes up and it connects, you know, to God, connects that God source. And it's like, and what the Lord's Prayer is actually good for in a, quote, metaphysical sense, beyond the physical, is when you say it, people, you know, have their blood pressure lowers, their heartbeat slows down. If they're, you know, you're saying it with consciousness, it actually will balance and align your chakras just, you know, saying the Lord's Prayer, you know, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And it's like, and you go through that and you slowly, and it's like it does. You can feel the energy that comes down and goes through. And when that comes, it's like, that is that, I call it that Holy Spirit white light, and it's just this really bright, you know, wonderful luminescent stuff. It comes to that, it comes to number 14, which is, you know, on the above. And then it kind of starts, you know, kind of like transformers. With, you know, we have electrical transformers that step down. It steps down the energy so it doesn't fry us by the time it gets into our physical body, because our physical body doesn't necessarily, you know, can't necessarily take big jolts of spirit, if you will. It's like it would be kind of like, you know, grabbing onto a really high voltage electrical wire. It's like it could zap you if you don't, you know, step it down for you. So you've got that, and it comes down through the 12 and the 13, which is the gold and silver, and comes down in through the crown. And it's like, and then to spin and cleanse, it's like any of these that you want to do spinning and cleansing with, it's like you breathe to them. It's like, and you just ask, and it's like spin and cleanse anything out that's, you know, that's impacting this. So it's like you go down through and you go through the colors and you do the rotation. It's like, you know, you spin and cleanse it in a clockwise direction. Clockwise direction for you is when you look, you know, look at yourself. But when you are looking out of your face, it's like your 12 o'clock position is like the face of a clock. It's like it's on your forehead. Your 3 o'clock position is on your left. Your chin is the six, you know, on the face of the clock. And then the right is the 9 o'clock. So when you do these directionally, you want to do this clockwise spin from 12 to 3 to 6 to 9, and you rotate. And it's like, and you do breathing with it. You breathe into your nose, and you breathe out to your mouth. But it's like in that breath in, you hold for a count of 4, and you visualize this spin and cleanse, and it goes out. And you go down through, and you spin and cleanse through all of your chakras, and then you allow it to go down, and when it, you know, gets to the neck, you allow it to go down through your shoulders, through your elbows, through your hands, and spin and cleanse out. And it just kind of feels like, I call it my irrigation system. It's like water pipes. It's like, you know, conduit. And it just runs through you, and it's like it goes out your hands, because we have chakras also in the palm of our hands. Every place we have a joint in our body is what's called a minor chakra. So we literally have, you know, hundreds of chakras in our body. It's just whether we, you know, most of us just deal with the major ones. And it's like if you want to deal with some of the minor ones, you have aches and pains, you can do that. But then to go down and ground it, once you get down to your sacral, to the number one, to the red, then it divides again. It's like splits out and follows the hip bones. It follows the hip bones down to the knees, down to the legs. And you just run that conduit and that water pipe, whatever it is, all the way down to the center of the earth. So you're having this, you know, wonderful, awesome, you know, God, Holy Spirit, cosmic energy coming down through you. And it's very, very light, white, silver, and kind of cool. It's like cosmic, going to be really cosmic cold. So you sit there, and it's like you connect down with the earth energy. And it's like, and some people, you know, depends on how you want to visualize it. If you just want to visualize growing roots down there, or, you know, some kind of hook, you know, whatever. It's like anything, whatever grounds you. So you ground yourself. And then earth energy is, and when it comes back up, earth energy in the center is a molten gold. And it's really, really warm because, you know, we're told the center of the earth is a really, really warm spot. So when you visualize it coming up, it's like while you're sitting there holding that visualization with the grounding down, with the cosmic, you know, with the cosmic Holy Spirit that grounds to the earth, you become that conduit. When it rises up like a water table, and that gold comes up, and it's like, you know, or you can visualize it as a water table coming up, or, you know, wrapping around like a barbell pole, whatever works for you. It's like it comes up through your feet, through your legs, and it's coming over top of the silver and the luminescent part. And it's like, so the silver is on the inside, that luminescent part is on the inside, and the gold is coming up over the outside. And it just continues to rise, and it's like a lot of times you'll feel really, you know, you get really warm with this because it really is a really warm feeling. So you just kind of allow that to come up through the knees, through the hips, and it's like, and then when the gold starts coming into the chakras, into the, you know, the major ones we talked about, into the red, it's like you go ahead and allow it to spin and cleanse. It's like you've been spun and cleansed with that Holy Spirit light, with that really bright luminescence. So as cleanse come down, and you cleanse with that gold coming up. And so it comes up through each and every one. It's like it comes up through the one, through the red, through the orange, through the yellow. Of course, I'm going really fast here. It's like I do much better out of meditation. It's like when I'm not, you know, run for time here. But you come up through all of those. When it gets to your shoulders, it's, you know, spills and comes down. And it's like, so you have gold and silver running down, you know, your arms out to your hands. And it comes up through your head, and it goes back up all the way through, you know, throat, well of dreams, third eye, 10, crown chakra, the 12 and 13, back up to that luminescent, and you send, you know, you're allowing gold to come, you know, back up to God. So you have this, you're sitting here on the planet, or you can even do this as a walking meditation, and you walk with it. And it's like you can be, you know, visualize yourself like a kite string. So you're always connected. And it's like you're connected to the center of the earth. That's what's holding you. And you can walk with this and meditate. And it's very powerful that way, too. It's like if you have health issues, you can literally walk them out using, you know, using this. Because while you're walking, while you're moving, while you're sitting, it's like you're having that Holy Spirit energy come down and connecting with the planet in the center. And it's like, and that gold come back up and connect with God. And it's like, I don't know if you've ever seen like the Escher paintings, you know, that kind of stuff where he has got a Mobus, and it's like the infinity symbol. So it's kind of like the infinity symbol, which is kind of like a figure eight. And you are at, you know, you as a person doing this meditation are at that cross point. And it's like you are the connection between, you know, heaven and earth. And it's like, it's really amazing. And it's really, really healing, really peaceful. It's like a really, really good exercise. Alrighty. For the moment, I might go on and talk about those more. It's like Rita was the one that actually encouraged me to do a little bit of this. So it's like I've got to get my stuff together so I can, A, go through it a lot more slowly than I have today. But Amy, I'm not sure what happened to her. She was going to be on, like I say, and talk about our fourth chakra today. Instead, you got me kind of doing some cards and a little bit of chakra explanation there. And Jan, it's like, cool, okay. Let's see, and Jan asks, okay, how far away from his physical body are they? Okay, the gold and silver ones, the little antennas that come out from the center of the chakra, and like interestingly enough, in I believe it's like, you know, in the Chinese reflexology, that center point, there's a point on your head. It's like, you know, babies have it as a soft spot, and as adults we still have it. That is called your master point. They come out of there, and they're about 6 inches up. It's like, you know, visualize those little, you know, little rods up there. It's about 6 inches above your head for the gold and the silver, which is, again, the gold is on your right for 12, and the silver is on your left for 13. So they're about 6 inches above the head. And then they go from the 6 inches, and it goes, the two kind of combine up. It kind of looks like an inverted kite when you get done with it, okay, if you kind of draw this out in your mind, and you kind of say, okay, the two little V up like that, and that's the short part of your kite. And then they go from the 12 and the 13 from the center, and it goes up and connects to that 18 inches. That luminescent point is about, if you kind of, you know, raise your hand up, you know, above your head, it's like you can just about, because your forearm from your elbow to the palm of your hand is about 18 inches, something like that. So you kind of raise that up, and that's about the area where that luminescent point is, that God point is. So it's like, so you're going from 6 inches above to 18 inches above, okay? Does that make, let's see, okay. Her phone went out. Oh, no. Okay, darn. Oh, my phone went out? That's, let's see. Okay, let's see if my phone went out here. Okay, so I'm going to say, did my phone go up? Did my phone go out or somebody else's? Okay. Okay. Wow, yes, okay. Oh, Amy's phone went out. Oh, no. Oh, shoot. Okay. Darn. I didn't know that. That's really a drag. Okay. Holy moly. Yeah. Okay. So, Jan, did that help? It's like, I know it's such a funny modality. It's like I'm sitting here. It's like I could read your chat. And it's like I'm talking to you on air. I'm like, okay, so did that help? It's like, you know, so the 12 and 13 are on the, you know, 6 inches above, and that luminescent is about 18 inches above. Okay, good deal. She asked me to tell you this. Okay, good. Okay, well, we found out what happened to Amy today. It's like, I'll say thank you there. Wow. Okay, so Amy's phone went out, so maybe we can get her in. Darn, because we've got Rita coming on tomorrow, and Rita's going to do a sweat lodge, her sweat lodge experience for us. Jethro might, and, you know, and Jethro, I don't know if he's got anybody coming on Friday yet or not. It's like I'll get a hold of him and see. And if Jethro doesn't have anybody coming on Friday with him, maybe Amy can come on and do her chakra class, you know, with us, and do number 4 with Sin on Friday. So we'll see if we can do that. All righty. And we've got another caller here real quick. We have an 876 person, and let's just see what we've got to go here.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Hello?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Oh, really? There we go. Yeah, kind of a little bit, yeah.
Sorry about that. I was just wondering if you were doing the birth charts today. I called not a week ago. Was it yesterday or a couple of days ago? But
okay.
I wanted to do mine and a person I was dating.
Right. Yeah, it's like I felt, yeah, that was yesterday. It's like I remember because you, let me think, he was July 1st of 80, and you were 85. I don't remember. It's, yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
it's like, yeah, I apologize.
April.
Because
yeah, that's okay. April. I forgot about me. He's April 1st, 1980, and I'm July 22nd, 1985.
Okay, there we go. Okay. Yeah, it's like I felt really bad because it's like I lost you in the queue. It's like we all of a sudden had this like influx of people, and I couldn't find your number in there. It's like going, oh shoot! And it's like, and by the time it kind of cleared out a little bit, it's like you'd bopped off, and I was going, ah, oh, darn. So okay, yeah, let me get those again. Okay, let me put this down as new, and we'll fill those in there. And let's see. Okay, so for your fellow that you're dating, he is, you said April. Oh, that's right, April 1st, April Fool's Day. Okay.
April 1st, 1980.
Okay, and let's see. I'm just give me first initial, so just so I can distinguish between the two. Like, you know,
I'll tell you his name. It's very generic, so it doesn't matter. His name is John.
John. Okay. All right. put him in as John. And let's see, click that one in and got that one. Okay. And he's the seventh space. Well, okay, now we're going to put yours in here. And let me get your name and stuff.
Yes, my name is Geralda, and my birthday is July 22nd, 1985.
Okay, I remember that, July 22nd. Okay, because that was my son's, yeah, and my mother's, and my...
yeah. Okay,
7/22/1985. Okay, and spell your name for me. It's like I'm having, my phone is blipping in and out on me here.
Sure, it's G-E-R-A-L-D-A.
L-D-A. G-E-R-A-L-D-A.
Correct.
Okay, and let's put you down as a girl here. That would be most helpful. All right. No, I know, silly. Okay, oh, wow. Okay, now there's some interesting stuff. You've got seven connections. I could give you a possible 14 connections in this. He is a seven of spades.
Wait, one second. This is got... higher. So I not miss anything you're saying.
Yeah,
okay. I don't want to miss anything. One second.
Okay. I was going to say, and, you know, the nice thing about it is like, if I put this on Flunk Out on me, it's like, this will be an archive, so you can go back through, you know, click follow, and like, you can go back
through. Isn't
he
the seven of spades?
He is a seven of spades, and he's got a jack of diamonds as his planetary ruler. And you are the six of clubs with that eight of hearts planetary ruler. So let me go look at this here real quick. Let's see. No, I don't want to do that. Okay. Let's see. We'll select and print. Okay. There we go. And let's do that one. Okay. There we go. Now we're going to generate that one. Okay. And while that's doing that one, I'm going to look there. Okay. 14, 17, 18, 20. So you've got your very first one is, just kind of look at these real overview. You're the Pluto card to him in the first connection. You're also the Saturn card to him in the second connection. You're Mars to each other. Yeah, we'll go through this. I'm just kind of getting this in my head here. You're the Neptune card to him. Wow, you got a lot of connection with him. And you're his Jupiter card. Wow. And then you guys he's your Moon card and your Mars to each other again. Okay, so let's see how that plays out. That's really interesting. Okay, let me get this where I can read it because it put it in really teeny tiny print here for me, so I'm going to enlarge that a little bit. So I
can you can't email
here.
That, can you? Or can I listen back?
You know, I don't have that capability from what I've got right now. Usually what I do with them is I usually print them out, but it's like, you know, there's where the cost comes in. I'm working on something. My daughter is more of a computer techie person. It's like what I've got is a really old computer, and it's like this one I don't put out on the internet because these are really expensive programs that I've got. But we're experimenting with trying to get it on like a flash drive. And it's like if I get to the point where I can email it to people, it's like, yeah, it would be, you know, it's like then it would be like, you know, $12 or something like that, as opposed to, you know, like a 30 for the. Yeah.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
So let's see here. Let me see here what we got. Okay, let's look at the pages. Okay, personal love report. Okay, and the karma cards. It's like he's got a karma card of a king of diamonds and an eight of hearts, and you've got a karma card. Oh, that's where the connection some of that is you've got an eight of spades, whereas he's got a seven of spades birth card. And it's like usually the card ahead and behind is the one that's our connectors. Second karma card is that yours is the two of diamonds. Okay, and let's see. I like these here. And see where you're at. It's like in your life spread and spiritual spread. There's two different places you can be. You can either be in a life spread, which is dealing with this life. It's like, you know, your connections here. There's also what's it called, the spiritual spread, which is like, you know, the past, like previous lives, if you will. So out of that, you've got three that are in the spiritual spread and four that are in the life spread. That Pluto connection is in this life, Saturn connection. Saturn, you know, these are the great, you know, the teaching card stuff. It's like, you know, you got some stuff to teach him. That Mars to each other, you know, can be really a dicey one. It's like, brings a lot of passion, but it can also bring conflict. I mean, it just, you know, it just depends on how you use the energy. That Neptune card, where you have the ability, he doesn't necessarily always see you for who you are. That Jupiter card, you're his Jupiter card, you bring him a lot of good things. He's your Moon card, and that's in the spiritual, the life, the Neptune and the Jupiter in the life. That Mars is in the spiritual, that's a past life. This Moon card in the spiritual, that's probably going to be a really good one. And Mars to each other in the spiritual. You got two of those. You got two of those Mars connections in your spiritual. Let's have a look and see what they really say. Seven of Spades, and he is called, it's called the card of fate. It's regarded as one of the most spiritual cards in the deck, and he can have, this is about him, he can have great success in his life as long as he does not disregard the wisdom that's intended to guide him through this life. He's here to learn about trust and keep the faith in spite of circumstances. His main challenge is going to come in the areas of work and health. He's got an underlining King of Diamonds that says that he's got to live these higher values that he knows if he's going to have blessings and power that's inherently available to him. And that same King of Diamonds gives him a lot of inner strength and the tendency to push things at times. And it's the King of Diamonds is known as the only one-eyed king in the deck. And for that reason, a Seven of Spades just has to watch out for a tendency to be one-sided or subjective in communications with others. Being that Seven of Spades puts him on the line. He's got to think, speak, and act from a higher perspective, or he's going to suffer innumerable ills, often physically oriented. Most of their problems translate as ailments, accidents, or other physical afflictions. His life path is one of the better ones in the deck. He's got a lot of talent that he can utilize for success and satisfaction in his life, and he can become really prominent and successful. Even his Saturn card, this Four Diamonds, is a symbol of protection and security. So nothing can truly hurt him but his own fear and doubt. He's protected by this high spiritual force, but it's got to be actualized by aligning his actions with highest truth and motives. And if he does that, his life kind of takes a magical quality. Many take on a special mission to help the world and the unlimited, you know, they're unlimited in the good he can do. If he gets stuck on self-centered thoughts and motives, though, he's going to suffer. He's got to live what he knows, and he's got to follow his intuitive guidance. Sometimes many marry into money or receive support from romantic associations. He can always do well if he works hard and maintains honesty. And literally, nothing can stop him but himself. In relationships, he's got some of the better marriage karma of the cards in the deck, and the benefits of marriage can extend both into financial and spiritual realms. He's attracted to those of financial means and mental power, and has to watch a tendency to give too much importance to the financial aspects, in which case that lack of higher values would bring more problems than good. In spite of good marriage karma, though, there's some of this. There's something coming up that he, you know, cannot quite escape from. Let me look at this. The challenges. He's got some challenges with that birth card, which kind of watercolors all areas of life, including love. He can be overcome by fear even when he has everything he wants. It's like his big challenge is to learn non-attachment. He's also got a Jack of Diamonds as his planetary ruler, and it gives him a lot of creative energy and makes him a really playful person. His creativity is really good for coming up with good ways to make money, and he's got innate sales ability that could make him wealthy. He's got kind of a youthful appearance, and he's always going to enjoy having a good time. But some people might think he's a little bit irresponsible if he lets good money become important. He's probably going to gravitate towards, you know, some kind of entrepreneurial work where he can put some of his ideas into action. He values his personal freedom above all else. And for that reason, others may find that long-term commitments have a hard time fitting, you know, into his plans. It's like it's going to take a really special kind of relationship for him to meet, you know, for John to meet those needs. And it was kind of yours yesterday, you know, you're the psychic power, you know, you've got the mentalness, you know, that he's kind of looking for there. I want to get into looking about, okay, let's see, about the love connections. Okay, here we go. In the life spread, with that Pluto card, you guys share a really powerful connection, and it's going to affect you both. Mostly, though, it's going to affect him. Someone who's our Pluto card has characteristics and qualities that challenge us and inspire us to change ourselves, whether we like it or not. So when you attract someone who's our Pluto card, and it's like he's attracted, you know, you because you're his Pluto card, he's ready. He has a secret desire to make some important changes in his life, and he needs the help of a partner to affect that change. And that's it becomes for John because you're that transformative influence in his life. And that connection often produces a really powerful attraction, especially in the beginning of a relationship. Sometimes it's obsessive compulsive. It can get, you know, go too far, you know, because Pluto is a really powerful planet. The attraction might be compared to the attraction of a moth to a flame, because ultimately our Pluto person causes us to what's called burn in the fires of our own personal transformation. So it's like that's kind of what you are for him. It's like he is really attracted. He, you know, you're attracting. You're the flame and he's the moth. Okay. Maybe that he feels like he'd like to be like you in some ways. A lot of times our Pluto card represents qualities we'd like to have but haven't quite been able to achieve for some reason. He may admire a lot of your qualities and secretly wish he was more like you. And indeed, you know, your presence in his life is going to serve to accelerate his own process of change that's going to help him achieve those things that he wants. But, you know, keep in mind, this is kind of for him, Pluto's that planet of transformation. I mean, something within us must die. It's kind of like the phoenix must die in order to be reborn. Okay, for something to be born new. And a lot of people are afraid of death, even the small deaths, you know, in our life. They're, you know, the small, that door is closing and another one opens to make the way for something new. So, it, you know, it may be this case with him. He's attracted, you know, that transforming person in his life. He's, you know, he might be a little bit spooked about it, or he might, you know, because he might have done it unconsciously, but he's desiring change. It would not be surprising if John sometimes resists the changes inspired by you in his life. He may get into arguments or, you know, fights with you. Even when a strong Pluto influence is in our life, he's going to feel confronted on a lot of levels, and it can make him feel kind of threatened or angry. Some Pluto relationships can be violent. It's like, that's not good, don't go there. If the person receiving the Pluto energy unconsciously blames their partner for the feelings that are inspired by that connection, okay, when that Pluto energy is expressed on the negative side, we can feel our very existence is threatened, and that's what he, you know, I mean, just depends on how he's at, where he's at, how spiritually he is, how conscious he is of things. Unless he's consciously made that choice to make that change, he might, you know, kind of resist and kind of lash out at the partner, thinking that they're the cause of the problem, and it's like, and really not, he's attracted you to be the mirror so he can see himself better. That Pluto connection is about making some fundamental changes in our life. The actual number in suit, involved in that, okay, is that Six of Clubs. That is that what he is, what John is wanting or needing to make with him himself. And if he's already realized that he needs to make some changes in some ways, it's like it's going to go a lot better. He's already aware of your importance in his life, and the changes can take a number, you know, it can take a number of years to affect. So it's like, you know, you're looking at the kind of a long term, whatever. So it, you
we're
know,
it can, only like a month, so.
You know, this is a new relationship starting, so it's like this may be a long one if you like this guy, okay? And you're going to be affected as well, because you're going to get to be witness to him going through this transformation. There's affirmations for each of you. It's like, you know, you realize this unusual role that you're playing in his life, and you consciously direct your thoughts, words, and deeds to perform this role in a loving and compassionate manner. You're inspired by the work he's doing on himself, and his, you know, the one for you is, or for him, would be he's accepting you as a catalyst for his personal transformation, and he's consciously applying himself to his inner work while being grateful for her presence, you know, for your presence in his life. And with you, his transformation is accelerated. It's like, you know, step on the gas and get some jet fuel. You know, he's going to accept that change as his own personal responsibility. And then the second connection, man, is a Saturn. Saturn traditionally been, and you're Saturn to him, okay, so he's going to be getting the major effects of this, is known as the planet of hardship, coldness, and difficulties. There's some Saturn relationships in which those qualities predominate, but there's many more Saturn relationships that have other qualities where we see the more positive aspects of that Saturn influence. You know, we can't exactly predict how, you know, relationship is going to go, because, you know, you get a lot of free will. And it's going to depend on how you guys consciously choose to apply the energy of that connection. It can be really constructive, or it can be difficult and depressing. So it's like, you know, you define just some of the qualities more specifically so you can understand it and decide which way you want to use it. That's where your free will comes in and out. In that relationship, he has somehow chosen you to be his teacher, you know, not like, you know, sitting on the podium doing that. But it's like, you know, it may not have been a completely conscious choice, so it's just, you know, just the same. It's like, you know, he's there. You're being his Saturn card. You experience this natural inclination to help him by making suggestions for improving his life or career. But just having you in his life.
I'm already kind of doing that.
Uh-huh. Okay, there you go.
Yeah, but about how he eats and getting a new job, one that's not stressful about doing little things here and there. And I'm usually not the kind of bossy, you know, one type person, so.
But that's, you know, but I'll tell you what, but that's probably exactly why he's, you know, if he's stressed and stuff, it's like he's wanting to make those changes, and it's like, you're going to be that good influence for him. You really, you sound like you really are. And that Saturn,
yeah,
you know, you're teaching him how to be more responsible, you know, grown up, practical,
yeah,
disciplined, whatever, conscious, etc.
But,
you know,
yeah,
you're going to help him become more aware of how the word, you know, his words and actions affect, you know, those around us. So it's like, you know, so, okay, that's good. Yeah, that's a really positive
thing. That's funny
thing.
You
that's
say
really
that,
because
cool. I talk to him all the time about the way he treats his, like, employees. I was like, well, maybe you could talk to them a little nicer, you know, maybe that would work. And I'll give suggestions, you know, stuff like that, or about what he should be eating. So that's funny you say that. It's so funny, because, like, he's kind of harsh sometimes. I was like, well, you know, you can get a different reaction if you talk to them this way. And this is how I talk
right.
to my employees.
My mother had this old one. It's like, you get more flies with honey than you do with vinegar.
Yes, so
you know,
true.
It's like,
that.
Yeah.
And I'm always like, be nice to your agents. And I always tell him that. I'm like, be nice to your agents. And I was
exactly.
like, and I always give him a reason.
Nice
so that's
to
funny
save.
To say
it
that.
It really does. Yeah, well, that makes a lot of sense. So anyway, so if he takes that, you know, if he decides to take this, you know, if he takes your suggestions with a good positive attitude, he can make a lot of progress in his life just by your presence. The closer that connection is to being the first one, which is, you know, the second one, the more important this relationship is for him in terms of what he needs to learn. So the best possible attitude is going to be where he acknowledges you as his teacher, you know, not that he doesn't need to give up his own thoughts or beliefs, you know, or any of that kind of stuff, but just things that he can learn from you and just being willing to be open.
He's smarter than I am. Like, he's very, 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 very smart. So, you know
yeah.
what I mean? Analytical,
there's,
so
you know, there's,
analytical.
You know, but there's what they call intellectual intelligence, but there's also called what they call the emotional IQ. It's like, you know, they're discovering we have an emotional IQ now. So it's like
yeah.
people really, you know, in electronics and like any kind of engineering, that kind of stuff, engineers live in a, you know, world of their own sometimes, and it's like they're not so aware of the people connection. That's like, that sounds like kind of, you know, some of the stuff you're there to help his communication, his people connection. The most positive Saturn relationship is one that helps a partner achieve their dreams by aligning, it's going to be aligning him with the hows and how-tos of success in the world. And it's like, you know, so you as a partner for him can provide him with this direction, understanding, kind of coaching, wisdom, all of which is going to help him achieve his goals. And that Saturn person can handle it. You know, if they can put it in a place where other people may be unable to do so. And he's going to develop a lot of trust and respect for you. And sometimes it's just, you know, what people need is to show some boundaries and discipline is a little, you know, and it's usually attractive to you, but this is very likely the case. And the affirmation in that one is you understand you have that ability to see all of his faults and shortcomings and share some suggestions with him lovingly, emphasis on that lovingly, with the awareness that you have this powerful effect on him. His affirmation is, you know, he realizes he chose this relationship with you to help him grow in important areas of his life. With that in mind, he's going to accept those suggestions so that he can learn and make progress in becoming, you know, more successful in what he's doing as, like, in making steps forward. Let's see here. And a happy person, right? And then the third connection, this is, I like the spiritual one, because this is Mars, but it's in the spiritual spread. It's a really powerful, and this is mutual. It's like it's both of you. So both of you get this connection. It's a powerful past life connection that often draws two people together like a magnet. And just, you know, in order to resolve some unfinished business kind of before, because modesty is the energy, the reasons and ways can be expressed, it can really be, you know, for a variety. It can be expressed as passion, activity, or anger and hostility. You know, either one or both expressed, you know, randomly. It's like, you know, this again, it's largely up to you as to how that connection is going to affect you. First of all, we know that, you know, your interaction in the former lifetime was one that left unfinished business. There's several possible scenarios. It could either be, you know, all of the above or none of the above, whatever, but that is responsible for that connection. You could have been a couple that had a great but unfulfilled passion for each other. Some circumstance in that lifetime prevented you from consummating that passion. You know, now in this lifetime, you get that really powerful physical attraction that, you know, feels good. Some really great love affairs have that double Mars connection. On the other hand, you could have been brothers, or you could have been fellow warriors in the lifetime in which you shared a lot of, you know, Martian activities like competitive sports or battles. And that, you know, era is like you come into one that encourages some healthy competitive spirit between them, that encourages each of you, you know, to excel, to stand up for your ideas and beliefs, you know, stay healthy. But it can also have been a result. You might have been enemies also, and warriors fighting on the opposite side, which ended with animosity and hostility. I'm in. If you're dating, you're probably not. But in that case, that reason is to resolve the conflict. So animosity and hostility, along with, you know, unresolved blame and anger, continues to draw us to another person until it's resolved and transformed into friendship, or at least a mutual understanding and respect. And you can, you know, you guys, this is where you examine your feelings for each other, along with the other connections between you, if you want to determine exactly which one of those, you know, possible past life scenarios applies. So if you've got other harmonious connections, like, you know, the Venus and Jupiter, which you guys do, and the Moon, it's more likely you're here to fulfill that passionate romantic aspect. If you got Saturn and Pluto and, you know, group connections, it's like it may indicate some competitive and conflicting past life. But you've got both. It's like you guys have the Moon, you know, you've got Pluto and you got Saturn, but you've also got, you know, and you got this Mars, but you've also got that Venus, and you've got the Moon. So it's like you got the smorgasbord here, okay? But it just guarantees there's going to be a lot of energy between the two of you, and it's just you need to handle it with awareness if you want to get the best out of it. You're going to be dealing with, you know, both of you, some a little bit of anger issues, competitive issues, you know, regardless of which past life scenario you identify with. You can consciously transform and use that energy to your advantage. If you're willing, Mars relationships represent a great potential. You got to really be conscious, you know, be taken advantage of. It requires two things. You've got to consciously engage in positive activities together. You need to both do, you know, like hiking together, jogging together, swimming, dancing. You know, you funnel off a lot of that negative Mars energy. The more shared physical exertion, the better. And the second one, you got to work on that anger and blame. Beneath all anger is a fear of one kind or another. If you examine your feelings when you become angry with each other, a lot of times you find out the fear that lies beneath it. So if you can communicate the fear, the anger disappears. So both those things are really doable, and, you know, and if you can do that, you're going to have this really transformative influence on that relationship. So it's going to be very good. For John, a lot of affirmations in these. You know, he's aware of how much he simulates you, and you understand her feelings because you can see how she, you know, simulates you in reverse. You know, he takes full responsibility for his own anger, seeing it resides within him first. And with that awareness, he can consciously guide his actions and help you both by encouraging positive outlets for that powerful energy. And you're on the flip side, it's like you're accepting John as that powerful stimulus in your life, and you choose to take responsibility for your own emotional reactions to him. So that relationship represents a wonderful opportunity for you to release your anger and transform it into positive, creative energy that can benefit your life in a lot of ways. So it's like, you know, like I say, I mean, I love these because it's just, you know, it really depends. It really depends on what you guys want to do with it. Let's see. Oh, my goodness, we got 3 minutes left here. We got one more caller here. I gotta say, can I get you to call back on another day? It's like, and I know Jethro's gonna be on. Let me think. Jethro's gonna be on Friday. Tomorrow we've got Rita is gonna share with us her Native American sweat lodge stuff, and it's like I'm not sure if we're gonna have time to do, you know, like reading stuff, but I know Jethro can do. He has a different flavor. Okay, it's like, you know, I do cards and he does the tree psychic and, you know, talks to your angels and stuff like that. Can you come back on another day? Yes,
I can finish some of the stuff. I have one more question before you go. So ultimately, is this a relationship that I should perceive in that is so new? Should I continue on with it? Do you think this is a past life connection that we might have, you and I?
Oh, yeah. It's like, yeah, where you've got 7 connections, I've seen people, you know, be successful a lot less. It's like you've got 7 connections out of 14. It's like, that's really positive. It's a really good thing. It just
What's
depends
the average?
On whether. Oh, and I'll say average is sometimes 4 or 5, you know, that's kind of quote, you know, average. So it's like when you start getting up, I mean, there's only once I ever saw a couple with 14 connections.
Wow.
That was really outstanding and amazing, you know, yeah. And it was really phenomenal, but it's like, you know, ones that are really like uber good, you know, it's like, you know, really amazing. It's like, you know, if you have like 8, 9, or 10, it's like that's really good. It's like 7 is right up there. That's a really high average. That's, you know, that's a good 50%. But again, it's just, you know, it depends on, kind of see that. I mean, you know, how does he feel about basic stuff? It's like, you know, is this something you could, you know, run by him? It's like, you know, how, you know, say, hey, would you like to check this out and see, you know, where's your level of awareness? It's like, you know, are you into, you know,
I wonder if he would. I want to try that. I'm going to try that tonight. I guess you're going to have dinner. So I'm going to see how
there you go.
The reason I called is because. Yeah, because today he was a little irritable for a second, and I think he gets a little self-conscious. I think for some reason, I don't know, I think he's fearful. He has some fear. I just don't know what it's from. I don't know what it is yet. And I know I have mine,
right.
too. mine is the getting hurt and not trusting. I'm not sure what his is. Maybe his is an objection. I'm not sure yet.
It could be on so. So you're still just at the stage of, you know, just kind of getting to know, you know, getting to know each other. So it's like, you know, hey, just, you know, go have fun. Go laugh, you know.
Take
something and find out if you like to jog, hike, you know, swim, if there's some mutual activities you guys can do together. You know, it's like, see if you can take that margin, if you're not really ready to talk about 60 seconds, shoot. You know, but just, you know, literally, take it for a walk. It's like, you know, if you're going to go, you know, go down the beach or go down the park, you know, it's like, take a walk after dinner, something like that. It's like, you know, go do something physical, you know, that's, you know, together. So it's like, see how that energy is going to mesh. It's like, you know, just have fun. Go have fun. It's like, that's what getting to know people is about. It's like, you know, just get to know somebody as a friend first.
Yeah, that's true. That's what we should do,
you know?
Definitely.
See if y'all like them.
Gotcha. Wonderful. Thank you
Alrighty.
So much.
You betcha. And, you know, like I say, call back and get Jethro's take on it, and we'll see you again.
Okay, thank you so much. Have a nice day.
Thank you. You too. Okay. Oh, darn it. Let's see. Okay, 915. We have got like 17 seconds and counting down.
Oh, that's okay. I can call back some other time.
Okay, we're on 7 days a week, so it's like, you know, click follow, and it's like, it's always 773. Oh, golly, 773-897-6461. There we go. I had a brain fart.
I'll do that. Okay.
Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you for calling
You're
in.
Okay, have a great day.
Bye. You too. Bye. All righty. Well, guys. It's a wrap. It's a day, and their little Blog Talk Radio lady is going to kick us out. But thank you guys all for being here. Really appreciate it. It's like, I am so sorry that Amy's phone flunked out on her. And it's like, we'll get a hold of her and see what we can work out. And maybe Jethro can, you know, get her on tomorrow or something, and I'll give him a call and see if we can get a hold of her. It's like, doggone. But thank you, Jan, so much for letting me know that. And we will see you guys again tomorrow. Remember to get a hold of Jethro at www.jethrosmith.net. You can also find him, Psychic Jethro, or just Google Jethro Smith. He's on Facebook. I am Kelly with KC Birth Cards. My best thing is a phone number right now. It's like 719-289-4907. So anyway, have a great day, and we will catch you all again tomorrow. Like I said, tomorrow is Rita. Oh, and there we go.